slow this down, because if you're coming out and you're gonna have to turn right on Main Street, unless you want to try and cross traffic and go left, and that light's gonna be there. So if it's red, I'm trying to think of how far the exit is from the light. You could get a backup, couldn't you?
It's possible, and I heard from UDOT that they have obtained funding for the traffic signal. We don't have a timeframe yet, but they have that funding now. I'm curious, as this all comes together and we look at a full traffic impact and the signal, where does the left-hand turn pocket begin? Where is their exit? How does this all key together and work out?
Yeah, I mean, it should be doable, but we're gonna have to work through UDOT, correct?
Absolutely.
Great question.
So it's not your fault that UDOT.
Go back to the Old Swiss Square slide for just a moment. Just one other positive of this execution, which we think helps a little bit, is you do have two parking lot exits of Old Swiss Square. You got this one on the left, which exits onto Second East, and then the front one that goes onto Main Street, plus one or two at the max. So you may have a minimum of three and a maximum of four arteries that feed out of the parking lots, which should help. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna turn the time over to Matt.
Matt Walter from Provo, Utah, and says save my address, so I'll say 441 East, 3540 North. I'll be very brief. I know the longtime patrons of this project who are represented here would love me to stand up tonight and say that we have every penny accounted for this project on the fundraising side of things. But that I cannot and will not do tonight, because fundraising is a very interesting thing. With fundraising, you're selling a vision. That's it. You're selling a vision of a candidate that might make lives better. You're selling a vision of turning a penny into a fortune with a business investment. You're selling a vision of helping villagers get clean water. You're selling a vision of medical research, ending Alzheimer's, a project that I worked on recently. And recently we've seen an uptick in fundraising supporting the citizens of Ukraine. I learned that firsthand with my son, who had a refugee drop in his fifth grade class, and then went home that night and did a lemonade stand. And at the end of the night, by the way, had $800 stuffed into his mason jar. And it was only then that we realized that he had another sign there that said, my parents will match every donation. true story. Over the past 5 years, I've had a lot of conversations about the Arts Center here. And the reason these conversations have worked with potential funders, the reason they've worked is because there have been three components that have come together in these conversations. One, hope. And I lump into hope sort of the idea or the reaction of, yeah, that would be really cool. Two, an appreciation for what the arts can do to this community and to any community. And it's interesting to me, you've heard my last name, I have my father's logic and a little bit of my mother's love for the arts in me. And it's been fascinating to me to see what this conversation does to people and how emotionally tied it is to folks when you start talking about it, even if it's about donating to it. And then number three, the third component has been confidence that my experience and the experience of others in this room that would be on a finance committee, that there's confidence in this experience to be able to pull together the resources to match this vision. They wouldn't be willing to have that conversation if they didn't think that that was possible. And so the vision has to be realized by all parties. That includes everyone in this room. That includes the community. And despite that, it will be a slog. It will be tough. And anybody walks in here and says that fundraising this amount of money is going to be a piece of cake, their head is in the clouds. That's just not the way it works. It is tough. And especially trying to do it in this fashion with no public funding, which is the intent here. And to a comment made earlier about ongoing costs, the intent is to also raise for an endowment. And we've had early conversations with different fund managers who have managed endowments for nonprofits in order to produce cash flow for upkeep over time. And so I'm not gonna say that it's easy. That's not what I'm here to say tonight. But what I am saying, and what what I am would like to present is that if we can present this vision in unison as a community together, that you can have the confidence that we will truly have one of the best teams you could ever assemble to try to execute on this. And that's tooting my own horn a little bit, I guess, but it is really more about a committee approach, and the folks we already have signed up willing to serve on the finance committee and put together a structure that includes both a lot of local effort and statewide effort to get this done. I've been involved in fundraising for my entire adult life. I don't say my career purposefully, because oftentimes it's passion projects like this. And it will include a team of full-time folks and a committee that look to execute on the vision that we can all hold together. Thank you. Do I stay for questions or leave that for later?
Well, okay. I think we might have some questions.
Stick around if you want.
How long do you think it'll take to raise the money, or the commitments, or whatever?
Yeah, the commitment, I mean, the hope is, and if you want to tie it, of course, to whatever the construction approval process is, obviously. So, but, you know, I think we look at other examples, and we got to beat those examples. The biggest hang-up in fundraising is being able to go forth and say, this is a concrete plan. So once we say, look, this is not ethereal, this is not some vision, but it's actually something that can happen, that I think we should be able to line up commitments within a year.
Okay, and I have a question about the financial issues that Michael's pointed out. So construction wouldn't go forward until, I think I saw in the presentation, until commitments, $45 million in commitments have been made. How solid are these commitments? I don't understand this world, so I'm trying to understand how solid a $45 million in fundraising commitments are. Do people back out, you know, when the recession hits, et cetera, et cetera?
People back out. The integrity of those who get involved is part of it. And then also balancing sort of different channels for where that money comes from is very important. So the mix would need to be both a, I'll use the term, community or small dollar fundraising, which should not account for a major portion, but is actually a very important element of just getting community buy-in on it. Individuals and families, and those who have individual and family foundations and of that nature, and then more institutional capital. So that would mean, you know, anything from a bank to other large community players. And obviously, once you have a commitment from a large institution or a large foundation, those you can count on a little harder, but these people will recognize their names are publicly displayed to the extent that that's necessary. And so do some folks back out, of course. Do you intend on doing business with those who have the integrity not to do so? Of course.
Right. And is bonding a normal process for a project like this?
That is out of my wheelhouse.
Okay.
Because I'm just here to get the money in the door. It doesn't seem like that's been something that, at least in the planning that I put together, does not include that, and that's why I've had the conversations to have in the fundraising included an endowment which would provide cash flow that would provide for upkeep ongoing, and I've had initial conversations with fund managers that do this for nonprofits and structure it in a way that's very favorable to the institution
and
safe.
Is the endowment designed to provide funds for the total upkeep and maintenance of the building, or will ongoing fundraising be required to maintain the facility?
Yes is the answer then. Yes.
Both?
Yes to both, but the initial slug would cover, the endowment would cover all typical upkeep, but you want to have an ongoing fundraising program. But correct me if I'm wrong, those who have worked on the theater plan of that, but between the actual ticket sales, the endowment, and the initial funding, that would not be necessary. Do I have that right?
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions?
I have a quick question. In the last meeting, another theater group that's working in Heber, I don't remember the lady's name, got up and spoke and talked about how this project should be combined. For the record, I'm in favor of this. I think it's a great thing for Midway. But as far as finances and money and competition in this area, quote, Heber Valley, can you talk talk to that? I mean, I know it's different groups and different people funding, but if there's one large theater group in Heber that has a massive facility and Marriott behind them and whoever else they're popping off about, what I mean, are you competing for the same resources and trying to say, you know, Midway's better, so fund us, or can you talk on that a little bit?
I can talk partially on that, and some of that again is out of my wheelhouse again because I'm not as familiar or much familiar with this project, but I would say that you certainly want to have a meeting of minds, and ultimately you sit down and you try to execute on the project ahead of you, which is what we would do, but there are community elements that need to be dealt with, and that is part of them, and I think that's a conversation that's had on a broader level. But, you know, I think what you're getting at is, okay, are you going to be chasing the same donors potentially for two projects a couple miles away? The answer is, I don't have any idea. I don't know who they've talked to and who they have not talked to.
Okay.
So I can't speak to them.
So it sounds like it could be a risk.
If there are two projects simultaneously going on in here, that's something for the body of the community to decide.
Yeah.
For me, I know the product that we can deliver in Heber and Midway is one that is going to be uplifting to the community. I think we can get the money behind making that vision happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Matt. Okay, next slide, please. Next, please.
Just because we've been deeply involved with these two groups that are, in a sense, competitive with theater, the whole area, Wasatch County, is deeply engaged in wanting a theater here. There are two concepts that are very much alive. Our concept is a privately funded, smaller theater that benefits Midway. The other concept is a larger one that is basically provided by government, and it involves every group can come there and rehearse and perform, but it requires an infusion of tax money each year. So in the Greater Salt Lake Valley, there are several theaters like this. There's the Hale Theaters, Pioneer Theater, Centerpoint Theater that are similar to our model, which is High Valley Arts would be the resident theater company, provide the branding and bring in the majority of the money, then in our case, we would allow the community to use it. The other model is the Rose Wagner Theater and also the Stephen Covey Theater, and there's one in Taylorsville, which is provided by the city. So cities build those and support them every year. And it's a different concept. They have different groups that come in. So that type of a theater doesn't get branding. So for example, if I say Rose Wagner Theater to most people, it doesn't mean anything. But if I were to say the Hale Theater or Pioneer Theater or Centerpoint, you'd understand precisely because every time a show is put on, it is put on by Hale Theater, Centerpoint Theater, or Pioneer Theater. It's just a different concept. Both of them work very well down in the valley. The larger one in Heber requires a lot of tax money to support it, and it requires a great deal of entities within a community to be able to use it. So it's possible that the larger community, the larger theater in Heber is going to have to wait till we have enough groups that will be able to use it. Our concept is smaller, locally, privately funded, and has enough space for the current theater groups and organizations in the city and in the county who could use it without, so there's enough facility in the MAC for the community to use currently. As the community grows, we will need a larger theater where other groups can go use the other facility, but they're both very viable in Salt Lake City, and they're differently funded and differently managed, and both work very well. We have no difficulty with the other system. We just know that we have talked with them, and they are not able to accommodate our needs because we need about three quarters of a year